Hello, 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 and welcome to Bust Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are going to be covering Game of Thrones Season 5, Episode 1, The Wars to Come, and Season 5, Episode 2, The House of Black and White.
Yes, and we have our usual disclaimers, which are there will be cursing, there will be spoilers, and we are having things to drink. What are you having to drink?
I'm having Earl Grey tea.
Yes, and I'm hoping to kind of have a dry January, which actually makes me feel a little bit guilty because I think at the end of our last episode I said, oh, join us at least for the drinks. Well, you know.
Mom, we drank yesterday.
Well, except I'm giving myself a pass for January 1st. But
okay.
In any case, 30 days clean. But my intention is to have a dry January because we did plenty of the month of December. So in honor of this being one of the episodes is the House of Black and White, I did something white, and that is non-alcoholic eggnog.
Yep. So the sections for Season 5, Episode 1, The Wars to Come are King's Landing, Pentos, Marine, Night's Watch, and Vale. Where do we want to start? Pentos is short. I guess we'll do Pentos.
Yeah. Pentos and Vale are both pretty short. But yeah.
All right. So Tyrion has been transported to Pentos with Varys via crate on a ship. Varys wants to save Westeros from itself, and Tyrion has the mindset of the future is shit, just like the past. And so,
all I want to do is drink.
Yeah, he's not really up for anything because his entire world has kind of been shattered by Shay, I guess. But I mean,
it's a bunch of things.
I don't think he feels much remorse for killing his dad, but I think that still it's a big thing to do.
It's a big thing to do, and his whole worldview had been shaped by Tywin Lannister, more or less. You know, his opposition to him, all of the structures that he knew were all.
And he thought he at least had Shay to himself. Mm-hmm. And no, she's a whore. A whore. And so, or was a whore.
She is past tense now.
So then later on, Tyrion is binge drinking. He's also done trying to save Westeros. He's kind of like, fuck them. They turned their backs on me. I turned my back on them. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like anyone spoke up on his behalf at the trial. Like, the people, and also he saved everybody in that room from Stannis Baratheon.
Yeah.
And so you could argue that Tywin had a bigger part to play in that. But honestly, if Tyrion hadn't held them off, they would have been fucked.
Yeah, I will say this. I really love the dialogue between Varys and Tyrion.
It's a bit repetitive for me.
It is repetitive, but it's so well delivered.
Everything turns into a metaphor.
Yeah, but they start out by like calling each other names, and then they
like a bro.
Right. And you know, Varys talks about, hey, look, you're a talented guy, and is trying to recruit him to fight for Westeros and support Daenerys.
I would like to say one of their lines. Tyrion says, I strangled my lover with my own hands. I shot my father with a crossbow. And then Varys says, I never said you were perfect. That is a good one.
I love that. I love it. And it's so well done. I mean, it is a lot of exposition, but it is, you know, kind of an interest. And it's also interesting, the persuasiveness. Like, you have people, and that's a lot of this whole season, I think, is people trying to persuade people to do something else.
Isn't that the entire show?
Yes and no. But there, some of it is better done than others, I guess.
True.
And so, definitely there is that going on with Varys and Tyrion in the scene, but that's
Varys mentions that, hey, maybe you should back a girl, Daenerys. Yeah. He doesn't say Daenerys explicitly, but
he's like, let's go to Marine.
Yeah, let's go to Marine. We have someone who we can back that is quote-unquote different from all of the other people, which is absolute horse shit because she's not. But I mean, they're like, she has a heart. I'm like, no, I mean, like, it's not, I'm not denying she has a heart, she is alive, but I think that it's interesting that everyone says, oh, but she has such a great heart. I'm like, Okay, well, did she help the slaves after she freed them?
Well, I think that's really the issue is that, she is well branded as being a freer of slaves, but freeing them for what?
I will quote Hamilton, "Winning is easy, young man. Live, not living.
Ruling
Ruling,
is
no,
harder.
yeah, leading is harder."
Meaning is harder.
Or something like
Ruling
that.
is harder.
I didn't even quote
I mean, I
it right.
think it's ruling is harder, but anyway.
Yeah,
So
I thought it
yeah,
was leading.
bottom line is that they're off to Marie. So then we have the veil.
Okay, I guess we're going to the veil now.
Yeah, the veil's pretty short, the road is pretty short.
Robin, I no, the road and the veil are the same thing for me.
Right,
They're
okay.
literally right there. Robin sucks at fighting,
It's
surprise.
hilarious though. So like Lord Royce, who you kind of think is this like stuffy old dude, says that he swings the sword like
A
what a spastic
girl with like a girl
girl
with
with palsy.
palsy. And Sansa says goodbye and to Lord Royce and thank you for keeping your secret and all that stuff. And she
Is getting in a carriage.
Littlefinger wants Robin to improve by the time he gets back, but fat chance of that happening. Then we go over to Brienne and Podrick, who talk about the future, and she wants him to leave since no one knows what he looks like and nobody really cares. But Pod wants her to find Sansa. But given Arya's response, Brienne is skeptical whether or not Sansa's even going to want her help. But there is a near miss because Sansa and Littlefinger ride past Brienne and Pod on their way somewhere. We'll find out where, maybe
Later,
third episode
later, later.
later. They are apparently Sansa and Littlefinger are apparently going somewhere Cersei won't find her, which when we find out where it is, that's absolute bullshit. But I mean, sure.
Well, right. So
She
again,
won't find you here. It's like, yeah, she can.
absolutely. But part of what Brienne says, and I find this interesting too, is she's like, all I ever wanted to do was fight for a good lord. And all the good lords are gone. What's left are monsters. It's like,
Yeah.
that's pretty fair.
Yeah, that's fair. Do we want to go to Marine? Maybe. Either
Yeah.
Marine or the Night's Watch.
Let's do Marine.
Actually,
Oh, you want to do the
King's
Night's Watch
Landing.
list? Okay. What,
Well,
King's?
King's Landing barely has anything in
I
it.
have a bunch of King's Landing
Oh, never
ones.
mind. I'm missing something.
Oh,
I
no, it's
guess
fine. We can do King's Landing. It's a little boring.
that's what I mean.
Okay, so it's boring. Cersei has a flashback to a prophecy that occurred when she was a young girl. She was a bitchy young girl.
The weird thing is, we don't hear all the prophecy. Well, we kind of do, but they also like it's really vague on like what it means. At least to me this time, I mean, like I knew what it meant, but I didn't when and when I heard like the last part of it, I was like, okay, well, it's not okay. We'll talk about it in a second. So she go her and her handmaiden, who was supposed to be Bravosi, but I'm not going to harp on it. Was found a witch seer person who tell in a hut in the middle of Casterly Rock land. So she's like, hey, well, I can kick
Interesting.
your my daddy can kick you out, so why don't you give me a prophecy? And she's like, give me some blood. And she's like,
Okay.
all right, here's some blood. And
Well, Cersei's just unimpressed with her from the rip, and yet somehow this prophecy seems to have controlled her life. And she asks, like, I'm supposed to wed the prince, and the woman says, nope.
you'll wed a king.
You won't wed the prince, you'll wed a king.
And you will be
You go
queen until
for a time until a
a
younger person.
younger, prettier one comes along. Her husband will cheat on her, and she will have three kids. Golden will be their head, and golden will be their shrouds.
Golden will be their crowns and golden their shrouds.
Whatever. That's what she means, their head.
Well, they were
But their
ladies, right?
hair. Anyway, who cares? Okay. Well, either way. The shroud part, I'm like, okay, well, they'll die eventually. We all know that. I never really took, if I were just given that, I would just be like, okay, well, I mean, they're gonna die eventually. I'm not thinking, oh, they're gonna die before me. Seriously, takes
Whatever.
it as they're gonna die before me. And on this trajectory, one down, two to
Yeah.
go.
Anything's possible. But in any case, yeah, and she also says something about the king would father 20 children, but three of them
But you will father, you
you'll
will
mother
mother
and
three.
three. She then is going, Cersei's having this flashback as she goes into the Sept for Tywin's funeral.
Like she would go
Jamie,
to Tyrion's funeral.
she'd like to.
No, she wouldn't even go. She would just be happy he's dead.
But she's there with Jamie, and she's like totally bitching with Jamie. She's basically like, look, Jamie's like, look, they're all going to try to take everything away from us now that Dad's dead, because they're going to try and divide and conquer with us. And she's like, I told you Tyrion would ruin us, blah blah blah.
Well, to be fair, but then she does.
She says that. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm just saying, to be fair, he did let Tyrion out, and Tyrion was the person who killed their father. They.
Well, she acts like that was 100% predictable, which I don't think it
It
was.
wasn't. It definitely wasn't. But now that it has happened, she's like, well, you've indirectly. I'd rather, like, hit. I kind of prefer Tyrion in directly doing it rather than you doing it indirectly. And I'm like,
Well,
what?
right. So, I mean, Jamie admits to her that he let Tyrion out, but the
Yeah.
truth is, it could have just been Varys. I mean, if it just
No. It
It could have.
could
Varys
have been
could have.
anybody,
Right.
but
Varys could have done it. But Jamie admits that he was part of it. So if, Varys is semi-responsible, I guess, if he let Tyrion out, whatever. But I just don't think that was, totally a predictable thing.
no, Jamie didn't know, and
Right.
so her blaming Jamie
Right.
for
But she's
it.
like, oh, you're just stupid. That's always your problem. You're just a man of action. Well, you man of actioned your way into this one.
I love that she used that term, and I'm like, that is a popular term on our podcast.
Yeah, well,
Also, speaking of, I can't wait for Bridgerton season three. Can't believe it's coming out in two parts. Can't wait till May.
it is a
It's
long time off.
they're doing the fucking thing that Stranger Things did. At least it's less time in between them, but still, Jesus.
No, I mean, that's been a thing. The Crown just did it. I think a lot of it has to do with
Yeah.
the writer's strike. It's a thing.
I think it is starting the writer's
But
strike.
in
But
any
hey, at
case,
least we're getting it eventually.
but Cersei's being bitchy. She goes and kisses Daddy's head goodbye. And there's a very sad Reigns of Casterly.
Yeah, Dad mentioned that one. Go,
Yeah,
Dad.
so
Cersei runs into Lancel at the
yeah,
feast. Lancel Lannister, aka I don't have a name for him. He's just weird. But they find he they she runs into him at the feast after the funeral, and he is now a monk cult person with a buzzed head and no shoes. Lancel asks her forgiveness in private.
yeah.
He feels he brought her into the darkness with the sex and leading to Robert's death with the whole wine thing on the hunt. He said, and she, I've led you to this. And she says, I doubt you led anyone anywhere.
It is
That's a
probably
great
her
line.
best line for quite some time.
Loras and the man whore Oliver are hanging out. I didn't know his name was Oliver. Now I
I wrote him down
do.
as man whore too, so
Oh,
yeah,
that's
okay, it's fine.
lovely. Are hanging out, and he notices a birthmark that looks like Dorne on, like, I think his hip or something. I don't know.
And they play games about that.
Marjorie
Marjorie
comes
comes
in.
in.
She's very blasé about it. She's while they're making out naked and all that stuff. She's just, well,
You're
whatever.
making me late for dinner
I
with the
want food. I'm
king.
hungry. And then Marjorie warns him to stay discreet, and he's like, no one really cares about me. And also, Cersei's not gonna marry me now that Tywin's dead. Like, there's no point now. And she's just like, and he's
We'll
like,
see.
that's not really good for you though, because with Cersei still in King's Landing, she'll be still be a thorn in your side. Get it? Thorn in your side. I just came
Growing
off of
strong,
that.
growing
Growing
strong.
strong. Sorrows and prayers. Marjorie's like, perhaps. And he's like, what do you mean by that? And she's like, I mean,
I
perhaps.
mean,
And he's like,
perhaps just thinking.
and so that's
That's it.
that.
Yeah.
So Night's Watch,
No.
maybe, or
Oh, let's do Meereen because it's
yeah.
stupid. So they tear down the Unsullied tear down the goddess statue on top of the pyramid.
Like Falcon Lady.
There, one of the Unsullied that's involved in that process goes to a prostitute. She holds him and sings to him, and then a guy in a golden mask comes out and slits his throat. They find out that these assassins are called the Sons of the Harpy.
How they found that out?
And so they're like, oh, what are we going to do about the Sons of the Harpies? Like, we need to patrol more. Okay. Missandei then goes to Grey Worm as he's getting ready to go
on patrol, and it's like, why is an Unsullied person going to a brothel? And he's like, I don't know.
So that was worth it. That
it's
I needed that scene.
all,
I don't really give a shit.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's to show that he's not a guy who's so weak who would be good.
Well, I mean, we already kind of knew that. But anyway, Dario gets back after success in Yunkai.
Or what they call success.
Yes. And the Unsullied are patrolling the streets. They were successful by putting together a council of both former masters and freed slaves, and they will report back to Daenerys for any big decisions they have to make. They have a condition. They want to reopen the fighting pits, but Daenerys doesn't want that because it's barbaric,
mm-hmm.
apparently. I mean, it's I'm kidding. It is pretty barbaric. But again, if you want to do it, I think the problem is if they reopen the fighting pits and they can make a map, and people just in general can see that they can make a profit off of selling people to do the fighting, some slavery might come back.
Well, right. But the truth is that you can also, the way they're
but
setting
free
it up,
men would do it too.
Well, but what they're wanting to set up is something where people do it voluntarily.
Mm-hmm.
And that was part of the whole deal to begin with. And
but
she's
like,
no.
So
then she's sleeping with Dario, and Dario's like, I grew up in
and
the
he's completely
pits.
Naked because that's what he's good for now. A cool line, stabbing someone and being naked. And I hate that for him.
But anyway, so he's like, I started out in the fighting pits. I was sold into slavery when I was a young kid. I started out in the fighting pits when I was 16.
I've been in this fight since I was
so
6 years
cool.
old.
And then I bought my freedom. And
it was very Cassian and Andor. I don't know why
no.
that came to mind. I've been in this fight since I was 6 years old.
He talks about, like, oh, well.
You need to be mother of dragons. That's your whole shtick.
Right.
And then,
why are there no dragons? And then she goes to visit them.
Well, first of all, she's like, I don't want kids dying in the street. And I'm like, fair enough.
Yeah, but they're dying anyway.
Okay,
they're just dying in a
but,
different way. Like, dogs can attack a child in the street.
Mom,
like,
that's not the point.
It's true.
Yes, but these are, like, by fire.
Okay.
Well, they're different.
Okay.
Anyway, Drogon is still nowhere to be seen. She goes to visit her dragons, and they have gotten big, and they snap at her, and she runs away. And I'm like, were you expect? Like, the way she approaches it, she's like, Viserion, Rhaegal, mommy's home. And then they snap at her, and she's so shocked. And I'm like, you locked them up underneath a fucking pyramid, bitch. What were you anticipating? They were going to be pissed at you. And this goes on. Her in this season is honestly so fucking stupid. And
it's
you'll
so
see
bad.
More in the next episode what I mean. Anyway, yeah. And then she runs away out of the pit or whatever. Under the pyramid. She runs out of there. To get away, and she's like, "Oh my god, my dragons are dragons! My dragons don't act like puppies!
Anymore.
Oh no! Especially after I've locked them in a dark pit
by
like,
themselves in chains! Oh my god!
I'm sure she's having them fed, but Jesus Christ,
they're getting
woman.
Bigger! They're getting fed!
It's like a Shireen treatment. Lock them in a tower, feed them daily, but don't worry about their well being
right,
at all.
You're not nurturing.
What about emotional support, Daenerys? What the hell?
You're not nurturing them. You're not guiding them to be better dragons.
They're going for nature more than nurture.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Night's
Watch.
Night's Watch.
John is training Ollie. Sam isn't training at all. And Alser hates Gilly.
I don't need to train anybody. I killed a White Walker.
You
in
killed
the bed.
One once by surprise.
Right.
Like, don't act like you could do it again.
But he's like, yeah, how many people can say that? No one's done that in probably 1,000 years. That's pretty fucking awesome.
You did that once, and even you admitted to Pip before
he's
he died.
Bragging.
I think he's just trying to get out of it. But still,
you know, he's trying to show off to Gilly.
Well, he's trying. Well, she was there. She saw it. But like, I think that also he's just trying to get out of training. Alistair also hates Gilly, and Sam is concerned about the upcoming Lord Commander election because Alistair hates wildlings, and if he gets voted as the Lord Commander, he might just banish Gilly and the baby, and Sam does not want that. And then
Melisandre.
No, I'd like to point this out. Gilly goes,
don't let them send us away. Don't let them send us away. I'm like, stop complaining, bitch. You've gotten a free ride this entire time. Don't act like you can't just find another village to like work in or something. Just, I understand you want to stay with Sam. I get that. But you don't even really like Sam all that much, clearly. No. I never really got the vibe she likes Sam.
And oh, she clearly likes
Sam. She likes him, but I don't think she loves him like he loves her.
Well, no, but yeah, Sam does...
I feel like she's taking advantage of him.
Well, right. And that's the thing. Sam, when he is loyal to somebody, he's loyal to a fault and can be taken advantage of, honestly.
It just pisses me off. She pisses me off about her complaining. Go ahead. Go with Melisandre.
Right. So Melisandre shows up. Like she shows up right behind John while he's in the middle of doing stuff.
No,
like,
no. It's like a jump scare. I'm Batman.
She's like... the king would like to see you, and they ride the elevator up
the Dark Knight.
They ride the elevator up to the top of the wall, and she's like, I'm not cold. Here, touch my skin. I'm all hot and stuff.
Are you a virgin? And he's like, no, and she's like, good. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Be more creepy.
Weirdo. Woman. Absolute creep.
So he's brought to Stannis. Stannis and Davos are like standing on this like cliff face thing.
On the wall.
Right out on this abutment that goes out over and like with no railing and stuff. It's like, yeah. Push him. So Davos begins to outline like all the things that they're hearing, which is essentially the...
That the Boltons have taken over Winterfell.
Well, no, but that John is thought to be too close to the wildlings. You know, people like you, but you're thought to be too close to the wildlings. Things aren't going to be great for you around here. And Stan, at first you get the impression that Stannis wants the wildlings to fight for him. And so he wants John to advocate.
No, that's the only impression. Yeah, he wants to take the north.
And he wants to take Winterfell. And he thinks he can take Winterfell because... You know, the Boltons suck. They don't belong there. He just needs more bodies, more people.
But to be frank, the Boltons are from the north.
Yeah, but
there are more people.
They're more Midlands.
They are Midlands. But they are still technically from the north. They were originally sworn to Robb. So, I mean, it's not like they're outsiders from there. Like, Stannis? If, like, and we find out in the next episode, the Northern houses don't give a shit about Stannis.
Yeah.
The only people who really cared were Ned and Rob, because Ned cared.
And Ned cares about the law.
He cared about the law, and that's
it. And doing it right.
He doesn't really care about Stannis, but like, yeah. Well, he didn't care about Stannis. Anyway, he wants John to convince the wildlings to fight for him for land and pardons if Mance kneels and swears his loyalty, or he will die. Okay, why he needs John to deliver that message, I don't know.
He thinks John's persuasive with Mance, because obviously he's treated with Mance before. He knows Mance. He just thinks that would be a persuasive way to go. And basically, we've got the...
John visits Mance.
Yeah, John visits Mance. Mance is like, not doing it. Not a kneeler. Not doing that shit.
He already knows what like Stannis wants, so he kind of also sees it as like really stupid that they just he tried to like get John to tell him.
Right, but they have this discussion about what he stood for, and he's like, "Look, I can't because I can't. I'd be betraying what I believe in and what the wildlings love me for. You know, if
it's fair.
I do that, it's completely fair. It's a very rational thing. He's like, oh, well, you know, sorry.
He also doesn't want his people to bleed for Stannis because right. They're not dying for something they believe in.
Right.
Nor do they care. I think mm-hmm. if they were presented the option, yes, some people would want pardons. Some people would want land. But honestly, they just want to be free. They don't really want to deal with all of the bullshit that's going on with politics. They don't want to like feel the... obliged to a certain king who doesn't hold their best interests at heart.
Right. And so essentially he's like, I don't want my people getting involved in a fight that's not theirs, and this is not their fight. They lead him out. He says, I wish them good fortune in the wars to come, but I'm not doing that.
So he's burned at the stake.
Melisandre,
so he's going to be burned at the stake.
Melisandre sets fire to a fire and with him on it.
As everybody watch while everybody watches, including the child, Shireen, and all of the wildlings that have been captured. There's still more beyond the wall, obviously, but
I will note this, the good people like Shireen and Gilly, and
they look
even
away.
right, they look away. I mean, they aren't gonna watch this
But the
horrific.
men watch.
Well, it's not just
Anyway,
the men, it's just like
I was kidding.
right,
But
you got like Selyse, like, oh yay,
she's
burning
such a weirdo.
alive. She's such a weirdo.
Also, but the thing is, Mance is about to burn alive, but John, who just gets sick of this bullshit, the political bullshit, he goes up and grabs a bow and arrow and shoots Mance in the heart as a mercy kill before the flames get to him that much.
I will say that Mance has a great performance on the
Oh,
pyre.
yeah.
It is really, really well done.
Fear, not necessarily guilt
Fear,
to a
panic,
certain degree.
even guilt. There's all this stuff going on in his face. It's really well done.
Yeah, it is very well done. Good job, Aberforth. Goodbye.
Yeah.
that's the end of the episode.
That is the end of the episode. So, what were your best parts?
John, obviously. Mance, honestly, as well.
Yeah.
Podrick, Dario for being a voice of reason. The dragons for being sick of Daenerys's bullshit.
I didn't have that. That's
And
good.
Tyrion.
Oh, you put Tyrion. How interesting.
I put Tyrion. Why did I put Tyrion?
I don't
I don't think
know.
actually Tyrion's the best part for me. I don't think he's a worse part necessarily. I just think that he's meh. I don't
Meh, that's right. So
know.
yeah, no, I put John, Varys,
Oh,
Dario.
Varys. Yeah,
Yeah,
I
I think
agree.
Varys is very persuasive. Dario, Marjorie. I've got
Oh, Marjorie was supposed to be on my list. I didn't
Yeah,
mean to not
Cersei with a
include
question
her.
mark because she has one good line, but that's the
She
only
has one
reason.
good line. I
She
don't think
has
it's
one good
enough.
line. Lord Royce,
Royce, yeah, Royce is
I love him
good.
in this. Mance, I think that performance is fabulous. But those were my best parts. What are your worst parts?
Sons of the Harpy. Nobody deserves to be killed. Well,
Well,
okay, I say
that's
that. I mean, I meant like in that situation, that guy
Oh
didn't
yeah,
deserve to be killed.
no.
He was
Definitely
literally
not.
just going and being cuddled and sung to. And
Yeah.
Gilly, because I hate her annoying complaining.
She's cute.
I don't like Gilly. I'm sorry. I used to like Gilly. Before this rewatch, I liked Gilly fine. She was not my favorite character, nor did I really care all that much. But especially now, she's just so annoying. And she's just constantly complaining about her situation. And I'm like, I get it, girl, but this is the best you can get with Sam in the position he is right now. Like, he's in the Night's Watch. If you want to be in the Night's Watch, good luck. You're a girl. And also, you already have a child. But I think another problem is that she just is constantly expecting Sam to fix her life for her. Like, he set a precedent of he's going to fix your life, but hey, maybe you should start, I don't know, doing something yourself. Maybe like take some steps to make yourself useful. Maybe like
Well, she kind of starts making some motions in that
she
direction,
does,
but
but it takes forever to get there and she's still complaining. I'm just like,
she's not
what?
saying she's a whore, at least.
I do appreciate, I'd like her better than Shay. But she's very annoying. Anyway, Melisandre, she's just a fucking weirdo. Stannis, I mean, I get you want the wildlings to fight for you, but you can't expect it just right off the bat. Even if Mance did bend the knee, you weren't going to get the most loyal of people, were you? And I thought loyalty was so important to him. So,
Well,
especially when he was like, oh, I'm not going to buy the Golden Company. No, you're just going to like bribe the wildlings to fight for you. Why not just get the fucking Golden Company?
I'm gonna come back to that in a minute. Go ahead.
Littlefinger, I don't like you.
You're
He's
evil.
well, that, but also he's just vague as fuck about what the plan is. Like, he's like, we're going somewhere. Cersei will never find you. And I'm like, first, again, when you find out where he's going, it doesn't make any sense why he said
No,
that.
it's
But
horseshit.
also, he's just not telling Sansa anything. And Sansa, of all people, should.
Evil, evil.
Yes, I
Yeah,
know. And I think that Sansa should alarm bells should be going off, Sansa. The fact that he's not telling
she's
you where to go.
Dumb.
I know she's fucking dumb, mother. I'm just saying it pisses me off. I'm not gonna put her. I'm not gonna put her, but I think that she's in a weird position where it's like, okay, well, if I ask more questions, he's just gonna dodge them. So I mean, but he's the only option I have right this second. Mm-hmm. So whatever. I feel like I had another one, but I don't remember. Go ahead. All
right, I have Cersei, Littlefinger, Melisandre, and Stannis. And I want to come back to this thing about Stannis, because you talk about, oh, you know, and it is presented this way. Like, it's been a day and a half, and you expect Mance Rayner to, like,
give his 100,000 people to, like, go and just fight for you? No.
Right. So, in the books, this plays out very, very differently, and it takes... It's like they're there a year at Castle Black. And it's for fucking ever. There's a whole bunch of stuff about wildlings. There's a whole bunch of stuff about them being allowed through the wall and blah, 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 blah. And it is fucking endless. There's a bunch of creepy shit with Melisandre. There's stuff about like Mance having a baby that gets switched with little Sam. I mean, it is crazy ass bullshit.
I'm sorry, what?
I'm not joking. I'm not joking. If I remember correctly, they attack Winterfell and it goes badly, but the wildlings do come around to doing this, I think.
For Stannis?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's weird. Weird. So that's kind of where we are.
Okay.
But yeah, it's bullshit. What grade did you give this?
B minus.
I gave it a B minus as well.
It's just boring.
I kind of wanted to give it a C, but it's not quite.
Oh
bad.
No, it's not a C necessarily. It's I was considering a C plus, but I think in general it's just boring. There a lot is happening everywhere. Well, no, not much is happening anywhere, and I think. For a first episode of a season, it's not setting up much.
No, it's not. It's not. It might be.
It feels like a mid-season episode, yeah, but it's the pilot. Not the pilot. The first episode of a new season, which is odd to me. All right, episode 2, The House of Black and White. The sections are Braavos, King's Landing, Road, Marine, Dorne, and Other Road.
Oh gosh,
let's start with Braavos. Braavos, there's not much that happens.
No, there isn't. But we do see Arya, and she sails under the Colossus and says she's unafraid. She's actually really excited. You can tell this again is a great Maisie Williams performance. She is excited to be in this busy city. It looks a lot like Venice, which is cool.
I think it's in Croatia.
Yeah, it probably is.
Because I think I remember seeing like some kind of interview, and she's talking about how Sophie Turner, who plays Sansa, got to spend all this time in Croatia with everybody when they were filming for King's Landing stuff, while Maisie was just stuck in the wilderness in like Northern Ireland or something like that, doing stuff for the North and yeah, like going in that general area and just roughing it. And now the positions are switched, and she's kind of, and Sophie Turner's now kind of like in the northern area with the Vale and all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
Heading somewhere, and Maisie gets to spend a lot of time in a really warm climate in Croatia and living it up.
Well, right, so she gets dropped off at this very isolated temple with a black and white door, the House of Black and White. And
also, the guy, like, the captain, like, he drops her off, and it's just like, any man from Braavos would do the same. I'm like, that's probably not true. But I think that it's so odd that he just knew where to go.
I think there is a fear element involved with the House of Black and White. And so, like, people who is a person who is truly from Braavos probably would, because they fear repercussions.
I just think it's odd that they all have this little code of like, if someone gives you this coin and says Valar Morghulis, you know where to go. It's like, no.
Apparently they do. So yeah, she gets dropped off at the House of Black and White. She knocks on the door. Some older gentleman who is a monk, it looks like,
mm-hmm.
answers the door, and she's like, I'm here for Jaqen H'ghar. And she's like, and they're like, no, I'm here by that name. Shut the door. That's it.
And she doesn't try again.
No, she sits on the steps in the all rain night. All night. She's reciting her list, and her list is much shorter.
It's well, the hound's so no longer on it because, I mean, he's dead. So
right, but
I mean,
all she has on it is Circe, Walder Frey, the Mountain, and Meryn Trant. That's all.
It is a much shorter list because, I mean, she has knocked a few people off.
Well, she hasn't personally, but some well,
they've been knocked off.
Yeah. So she's
She also throws her coin away.
She throws her coin away. She's at some point walking through the city and she kills a pigeon.
She decapitates a pigeon.
With needle.
Which is different from, it's kind of a parallel to season one when she was wandering the streets of King's Landing and trying to kill a pigeon for food in exchange for food or something.
By hand. Yeah.
By hand. But now she can just decapitate them. And she gets harassed by some men and she threatens them. They're about to try to take her sword. But then the man from the House of Black and White, the monk guy, shows up and scares them off, but he just shows up and then they're scared off. It's not like he did anything, he just appeared.
Like I said, they just know.
And she follows him back to the House of Black and White. She's like, hey, why were they so scared of you? And then he turns around, he takes off his face, and it's Jaqen H'ghar. And I'm going to keep calling him Jaqen H'ghar because we've established a name for him. And they're going to try to say, hey, he's no one. I'm like, bullshit, he's Jaqen H'ghar. And he's like, my name isn't Jaqen H'ghar. And she's like, what's your name? And he's like, no one.
No one.
And
no.
You're going to have to learn how to be no one if you want to do this thing. I don't know. Something similar.
If you're
going to
stay.
If you're
going to
stay. It's what you're going to have to become. And then she follows him into the House of Black and White. We will find out more about what's going to happen later.
Alrighty. And so let's go on. So we've got
Dorne.
Yeah, Dorne's really quick. So,
we have the King's Landing.
No, King's Landing takes a while.
Yeah, okay, fine. We'll have the context later.
Right. So Dorne, Laria Sand is watching Marcella and the young prince that she's
Tristan, that she's
engaged to walking in the garden. She's pissed. She goes to talk to the guy who actually rules Dorne, that prince.
Prince Doran.
And he's in a wheelchair.
Doran.
And the actor, we've seen a whole bunch of stuff, and I'm not going to try
who?
To recite. The actor
the
who
guy?
Plays Prince Doran, yeah.
Oh, I don't think I recognized him.
And she's like, I want to send Marcella to Circe in pieces. And Prince Doran's like, no, we don't do that to little girls.
And the sand snakes apparently are behind her. We do not know who those are yet. We will find out, sadly. And I'm going to just level with you guys. I don't care for this subplot. Like, I think the costumes are cool. I think especially Marcella's costumes are really pretty. I think that the location's pretty. I don't find this whole apparent, basically most of a season long subplot really interesting with these people that we barely know and barely care about. I cared about Oberyn to a certain degree.
Yeah.
I liked him. We never really got to know Ilaria and her past and anything else. And we still don't find out much more from the subplot about who she actually is as a person. Well, we do find out some like cutthroat things about her, but otherwise it's not like we're learning about her past. And she's clearly like a woman scorned, but scorned by the fact that she's now a widow, kind of, but it was just her lover. It wasn't like a husband's deal. So it's not like she gets much out of him being dead. I also don't really understand why she blames the Lannisters for this. I guess she blames Tyrion for being a Lannister and making Oberyn think, okay, yeah, no, I should totally fight for this guy, but he didn't. And the Lannisters, I guess, set up the trial, but they included Oberyn in that, and it was Oberyn's choice to do this, and I guess the only thing the Lannisters really did was appoint the Mountain as the challenger, but otherwise, like, what did they do? Like, Oberyn made his choice. He went into a one person's gonna die, or at least one person's gonna die. In this case, it was two, but he knew what he was getting into. Like, it's not. Is it horrifying? Is it bad? Sure, but it was Oberyn's choice. He wasn't forced into it by the Lannisters,
right? So, I mean, essentially, when.
But she thinks it's the Lannisters' fault, and so she wants to take it out on Marcella. And Marcella clearly, like, there's a moment where Marcella looks up and sees Ilaria Sand looking down at her, and she kind of feels uncomfortable.
Which, fair enough. But yeah, no, Doran is kind of like, you, like, it was my brother. And she's just like, well, you're not doing anything to avenge him. And he's just like, well, what to avenge? To avenge what? Like, I mean, what? First of all, the guy who like killed him is dead. Like, what are we gonna do to avenge this guy? And she's like, go to war. And he's like, why? Like,
Yeah.
why would I go to war for this? Like, that makes no sense.
Yeah, like I'm totally not doing that
It's
shit.
like
This
if he got killed in a bar fight and she's like, go to war. It's like, no, he got himself into that mess. It's like, I'm not gonna deal with that. It's like, I don't get it. I really don't. And so, so this entire like prospect, the idea of what Ilaria is fighting for doesn't make sense to me on like just a base level, especially this time rewatching it.
She's just a vindictive bitch and
She is.
did not like seeing her lover have this guy's gown.
I
I can
understand that,
see
but it's not all the Lannisters' fault for it, especially not this child who has been here in Dorne for most of her life, honestly.
that. I'm not faulting Marcella in any way.
Yeah,
She's
it's not
a
Marcella's fault, but again, she can be used as a pawn against Cersei, and
and a hostage, which is
that's
the
essentially
whole problem with her being there in the
what she
first place.
wants.
But anyway, all right, so let's talk about. Do you want to do other road, that being Varys and Tyrion?
Sure.
All right, so Varys and Tyrion are on the road to Volantis because the road to Volantis leads to the road to Meereen, and that's where Varys wants to go, to quote unquote
We're
find
finally
the
seeing
ruler.
Volantis. Talisa would be so
No.
happy.
And Tyrion admitted that he had not left Westeros when Shae tried to get him to leave. Because he loved the power. And so they have this discussion. Again, it's well phrased. The way Varys describes it, it's like, look, people aren't ever going to like us. We're always going to be outsiders.
In a box.
And well, right, but
Everything turns into a fucking metaphor.
well, right, but right, that's true. But what he's saying is, we create, because we're repulsive to them, they're repulsive to us. We create these very comfortable boxes to keep the other people out. And he's like, it's the only way we're able to survive. But that's
Well,
basically.
Varys also says that Tyrion made a good leader during his brief stint as the Hand of the King in King's Landing, that brief time at the end of season one into season two. Tyrion doesn't think Cersei will go after him. He's like, yeah, you're not, she's not going to go to every dwarf in Westeros and Essos just to find me. Of course he's wrong. I don't know why he underestimates how much his sister is a vindictive bitch and wants him
You
dead. Like,
really should know
she should
better.
know how much she wants him dead, but
Yep.
no.
Yep. No.
I think we should leave Meereen for last.
Yeah, let's do King's Landing.
Or Road. Podrick and
Yeah,
Brienne and all that.
we can do that. So
Podrick and Brienne stop at an inn and he checks out the tavern wench. Good for you, Podrick.
she
She would
checks him
love
out.
that.
She
She would
starts.
love that. Because we apparently every whore has loved that. So, I mean,
No,
there you
she's
go.
checking him out first, and he's like, okay.
Sansa and Littlefinger stop at the same inn and talk about how he got a letter before they left the Vale, and he says, "Oh, my marriage proposal was accepted." And she's like, "But aren't you mourning Aunt Lysa? Like, what's the deal with that?" But before they get to talk about that, Podrick recognizes them. And Brianna's this is a great exchange. Ready the horses, Brianna says. We only have one horse. Then find more. And so then Brienne approaches them and tells Sansa she will protect her and the whole thing about Catelyn and all that stuff. Littlefinger calls her story into question, and eventually Sansa refuses to the help because she saw her at Joffrey's wedding bowing and scraping, and she doesn't want to deal with somebody associated with the Lannisters. Fair enough.
Right, and it is fair because
It's literally the
well,
same thing that Arya and the Hound had a problem with. It's like you're supplied
you're
by the Lannisters,
right. We can
the
see
people who
that,
killed my family. I don't want to deal with you.
right? Which again, it's a good reason to be scared. But what she asked, Brienne asked Littlefinger, "Well, what gives you the means of protection. And he's like, I'm her uncle. It's like, oh God. And Bran is immediately like, oh, there is crazy, creepy shit going on here.
Not yet. And she doesn't trust Littlefinger as far as she can throw him. And I think she can throw him pretty dang far.
Oh, she's so much bigger than he is. It's hilarious how much bigger she is. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. And so...
Sorry, we're getting fireworks. This is,
I don't know what whatever. The deal is with the Zoom call. It's
super funny.
Anyway,
it's hilarious. No, it's
she,
not causing
she takes out Brienne takes a few guards out on her way to the horses. She lets go of their horses and then she like goes off with Podrick. Podrick veers off to the wrong side. Brienne watches Sansa leave on the northern road. And so she's like, okay, well, now I know where they're going. So, and then Pod is like thrown off his horse. He's cornered by a soldier.
Yeah, they were actually chased by the soldiers.
Yeah. But Brienne kills the soldiers. Brienne says that they will follow Sansa and she will not be free of her vow. And Podrick's like, okay.
Well, but it's funny because Podrick's like, well, they both rejected your offer. And she says, do you think she's safe with Littlefinger? He's like, no. She's like, that's the answer.
Yeah.
So they're going to follow.
Yep.
And then we have...
That road. King's Landing.
King's Landing. King's Landing. Okay. I think we do King's Landing, Marine, and Castle Black, don't you think?
Or no, we can do Castle Black.
No, we're doing King's Landing.
Okay.
So King's Landing.
Cersei has been sent a threat by the Martells using Marcel's necklace in the mouth of a like
viper
statue thing.
Yeah.
And the Martells apparently blame the Lannisters for Oberyn's death. I only slightly get that. I still don't.
Well, but even more stupid though is Cersei's like, I'm gonna burn all their cities to the ground, and she's telling Jaime this, and Jaime's kind of like, that's pretty stupid. And then she taunts him with being a bad dad.
First of all.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, if I told people I was the dad, things would have been worse. So no.
Yeah.
But he's like, I'll fix it. I'm going to go get Marcella.
I'm going to go to Dorne. And she's like, you're going to, a one-handed man is going to go get my daughter back from Dorne. Yeah, that's going to work out. Great.
Alone.
I said alone. And then Jamie's like, I'm not going to go alone. I'm not an idiot. And then we go over to Bronn, who is talking to his annoying fiance and wants to live in a big castle, but won't get it because of the inheritance going to her older sister rather than her. And he's like, well, I guess I'll just, in his mind, he's just like, I'm just going to kill the sister and the mom so that we can get it now.
That was the plan all along.
Jamie approaches Bronn and tells him that his fiance is now engaged to somebody else, and so I'm gonna get you a better deal than Cersei did, and you're just,
after you do this thing for me. And we're gonna go on a little trip.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
as south goes apparently.
Yeah, so
and then
no,
mom, there's more. Cersei is looking for Tyrion and send hunters
yes,
after him. Cersei will advise, and then she goes through the small council meeting. Cersei will advise Tommen until he chooses his own hand of the king.
Right, but her uncle, his name is actually Kevin Lannister, not that you'd ever know that from watching the show.
No, they say Kevin a couple times. I just forgot to write it down.
Right, so that her uncle, who is the head of Lannister armies, you know, she's like, oh, you can be the whatever of war.
No, I wrote down all of the positions. Mace Tyrell is master of ships and now master of coin.
Yeah.
Qyburn is now master of whispers. Her uncle will be master of war, but he wants to hear it from the king, and he doesn't want to be like her puppet. He did not come to King's Landing to be her puppet. He came to pay his respects to his brother who died. And he's just gonna
Casterly Rock.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be like all up in this shit. Like he didn't care about this.
Yeah,
we'll see how that turns out.
Yeah, anyway. The thing that is funny in this sequence is Grandmaster
Pycelle trying to get
is like, no, Qyburn can't be the Master of Whispers. No, it's really kind of cute.
Whatever.
It's funny to me because he's so threatened by Qyburn. And one of the things we failed to mention is, you know, we're talking about beheading people, and there's a head of someone who is supposed to be a dwarf brought to Cersei and Qyburn. Qyburn's like, oh, can I keep it to experiment on?
Weirdo. Anyway, Night's Watch or Marine?
I feel like we should do Meereen before Night's Watch, but that's entirely up to you.
Whatever. We'll do Meereen. The Freed's, oh, there's stuff
before. Yeah, Dario and Grey Worm go to the whorehouse where the Unsullied had been killed. And Dario's like, oh, you're not a Freed anymore. You don't know where people hide because it seems like it's an empty.
He stabbed someone through the wall.
Yeah.
And who was hiding the gold mask for the Sons of the Harpy and daggers. Daenerys discusses what to do with the man with her council. Dario's already questioned the man and has gotten everything he can out of him. A freed slave who serves on the council, along with that rich dude who was the son of a master who was killed. So I guess he's a master now of some kind.
Yeah.
The freed slave says only blood will send a message.
That's all the Marinese.
But everybody else has a different perspective. Barristan thinks that you should do a fair trial. And Daenerys eventually is like, because Barristan tells Daenerys about her father, the Mad King, and to deal with justice the right way and not your way that is going to be messier. You may think it's a good idea at the time, but over time, you're going to realize that that's not really effective and people are going to hate you for it. So don't go crazy.
Don't just randomly kill people. But what ends up happening?
Well, she says that she will give him a fair trial. Then, in the most Robb Stark of ways, the freed slave goes to the son of the Harpy and kills him and strings him up outside of on the walls of Meereen, in the city. And he gets taken to Daenerys. Daenerys feels betrayed. The freed slave gets taken away, and she's so upset that he did this. And he's like, well, this is the only way, because, I mean, he was the son of the Harpy. He was a killer. I don't know if that specific guy did it, because there are probably more than that. But either way, he was a part of a movement that killed people and wants slaves to go back to their chains. And that is not okay. And so the freed slave feels like what he did was right.
Yeah.
And Daenerys is like, no, that wasn't right. You shouldn't have killed him. And we were going to give him a fair trial. And he's like, but that wouldn't have worked anyway. And so
that's not really the point. So the point, or at least what she's telling him is it's not really the point. But the point ends up being that she is going to have this public execution of the freed slave.
Both Dario and the rich dude think she should do it in private, which I agree. You could let, I mean, word of mouth still would have made her look bad, but I think that a public execution, I don't know what she's expecting to happen there. I mean, what you're doing publicly is you are punishing the person who went against the movement that you're trying to go against. It's like, for all intents and purposes, this guy was on your side.
Yeah.
And you're on and the slave's side, the freed slave's side.
And they're all begging for mercy.
Yeah, they're all like, they're yelling Misa. They're trying to like get her to change her mind. Even the guy right before, like, because Dara is about to decapitate him. And he's just like, please, please forgive me. Please, Misa, please show mercy, something like that. But Daenerys, even with everybody yelling at her, hey, don't do it, she has Dario decapitate him. And then, of course, everybody goes silent. The former slaves start hissing at her because they're pissed off at her. And then they start throwing rocks.
Yeah.
It starts becoming like a raid kind of thing. Not a raid.
A riot.
Yeah. A rave. There were glow sticks involved. It
becomes a blur. There were rocks, shields fighting, people breaking people.
And I'm just so curious what she was expecting to gain from this. You're decapitating a slave you freed for doing something that in all you wanted to happen. And so I don't understand. I understand he did it prematurely. And obviously he wanted a fair trial. But don't do it publicly, because then all the slaves are going, or former slaves, sorry, all of them are going to be upset with you. And I don't understand why she doesn't get that. What? And now the masters are going to feel like justified in any shit they do with the Sons of the Harpy bullshit.
Like, I mean, just like, what are you doing?
Right. And there's no public trial for the freed slave, which I think is part of the problem. It's
That's
just
again another non-public trial.
This summary execution kind of thing just does not work, or what appears to be a summary execution does not work.
And there was this whole debate about, well, you are the law. And she's like, the law is the law. And I'm like, no, you made up the fucking law.
Right. So
you're creating your own like government kind of thing in this, and your like own totalitarian government here. Like, this is what you want. The law is what you make it, and right. not and you, your people will enforce it. Right. So, and I don't understand
she likes
why
she tell people she's queen all the time.
Yeah, she's like, I'm the leader here. I make all the decisions. And I'm like, okay, all well, right, then make so the fucking the decision.
But you have to live with the consequences
yeah.
of it.
If you wanted to not do a fair trial, obviously Barristan like scared her out of a free trial. Fair, if I always say free, I meant fair. Fair trial.
No, he didn't.
No, he did.
He wanted to have a
fair
trial.
Oh, no, sorry. He talked her into doing a fair trial.
Right.
Initially, she just wanted to execute the guy. And I honestly think if they were, I think that a fair trial would have, I don't know who she would get for this fair trial. I don't know how she would do it. I don't know if it would be similar to King's Landing. She's never been to a fucking trial before. Right. I think Barristan would probably try to like shape it into the form that King's Landing does their trials. But
which is hit or miss,
which is hit or miss, and it all comes down to her decision anyway. So I don't, and she's just gonna rule against him. But I think, in general, I honestly think
air it out with the evidence, right?
Yeah, well, I honestly would just keep the guy in your prison for a little while longer and just see what happens.
Well, in any case,
I don't know how long it took, but Drogon finally. I just want to say this is literally the same as Robb Stark, but at least he had better reasons.
Yeah, okay. So after the free-for-all in the city, Daenerys holes up in the pyramid because she has to hide in the pyramid because it's not safe for her to be out.
She's like, leave me.
Right. So she sends everyone out of her chambers, which are at the top of the pyramid. She goes out on the balcony because she's scared. It's very quiet and weird. And Drogon is back. Drogon's very sweet.
Can I tell you what I wrote down?
Yeah.
I said Drogon finally visits home and drops off his laundry without giving his mom a call.
But he does sniff her.
Then he leaves. Dragon Screech ending number 5? Question mark.
Yeah, that's why you want to end with that. I want to end with Castle Black. Yeah. And so Castle Black, we start with Shireen teaching Gilly to read, which actually, again, is very sweet. I love Shireen.
And then for whatever reason, Sam is just like, hey, did you know this factoid? And
Gilly's like, I know S.
And again, it's the stupid versus the book smart relationship that I'm just like, whatever.
Well, she's I appreciate that she's being sarcastic with him.
I don't know how sarcastic she's being, but she's being a little bit passive aggressive with him about like, hey, at least she's being patient with me, and he's like, you need to practice, and she's like, fuck you, I know S now. And
but they end up discussing Shireen's grayscale, and Gilly said that two of her sisters had it. And in the end, they were covered in grayscale and acted like animals and basically had to be taken out and killed.
My question is how Shireen got it as a baby.
That is actually explained in the book.
I'm sure it is. I just don't know the answer to it.
That it might come up in the in seasons to come.
No, she was born with it, wasn't she?
No.
She was exposed to it. All right, so, that's how it's spread. So.
Right. So I just, in case it doesn't get explained later, Stannis brought her a doll from
the... Right, the doll. No, she. Yeah, no, they do explain it.
Okay, never
mind. Sorry, I was premature there. I forgot they explained that. Anyway, so she doesn't know how she was cured, though.
Right, so Selyse comes in.
No. Gilly had two sisters who also had grayscale. I don't know what they called it. She doesn't even know what they called it. What?
I mentioned this one.
They already did?
I did.
Well, I wanted to mention what happened to them, that they kind of... They got covered in grayscale and they started becoming like rabid beasts kind of thing, because we will see this hint later on this season and it will be important. The grayscale will become quite important to us. Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to reiterate that, okay. But go ahead.
It's okay.
I wasn't paying attention to this part the first time I watched it, so it's important
keep an eye out.
Yeah, so Selyse comes in, she's like, don't talk to that wildling girl. And you know, honestly, to be fair, while Gilly is a wildling, she's not a wildling like the other wildlings, so
she's not like other wildlings. She paints.
She doesn't paint. But
she can't even spell.
She was part of a single family unit. She wasn't part of the big Nance movement.
Yeah,
so it's, she's true. Not like a fighter like they are.
They also spent more time. She also spent more time with people from the Night's Watch than she did with other wildlings, I guess.
Right. So realistically, she's not in the same. She's not the same kind of person. Anyway, so. She comes in, don't talk to them. Stannis is pissed at John. We see him tell off John for shooting Mance.
It ended the same way you wanted it to, Stannis. It's not like you were sacrificing him to your fire god.
But he's in a bad mood because he's just gotten a letter from
Lyanna Mormont. We love Lyanna Mormont. You will get to meet her in season
the
6.
First that Lyanna Mormont exists.
I forgot and about this.
I did too. He has received a letter from Lyanna Mormont because he had asked for her support. And she sent him a letter saying, yeah.
The Mormonts serve no king but the king in the north whose name is Stark. Anyway. So go fuck yourself, bro.
Yeah, and John starts laughing.
Yeah, and he's like, Stannis is like, you find that funny? And he's like, kinda, yeah. I mean, that's really funny, especially considering there is no king in the north whose name is Stark anymore.
Yeah, but so Stannis is like, look, you know, you could be the next Stark.
Also, by the way, Lyanna Mormont is 10 years old.
Yeah.
And she is the niece of Jorah Mormont? No, not niece. Daughter? Yes.
No, she's the niece of Jorah Mormont and the grandniece of Lord Commander Mormont.
I said Jorah, not Jorah. Sorry. Okay. I got confused there. Yeah, no, she's the grandniece, I think. Former Lord Commander, and right. She is the niece of Jorah.
Yeah, so she is, but she will come up later.
And she's awesome.
Yes, we love her.
Another Last of Us girl.
Yes, exactly. She and Pedro Pascal go off and have adventures later.
Yeah.
But anyway, so she sends this letter, and what comes of it is Stannis is like, look, we're expecting, you know, Sir Alistair to be the next Lord Commander. Why don't you join us? Because your life's going to be hell. Join us. I will make you a legitimate Stark because I'm a king. I can do shit. And
first of all, with what fucking power?
He's a king.
I understand that, Mom, but he's not like a legitimate king.
It's kind of like being a minister online.
Honestly, at this point, like, John, if you want to be as legitimate as Stannis will make you, just believe you're a Stark. Like, I mean, just say that you're a Stark. Just start saying you're a Stark. Like, no one fucking cares.
But John does. And so John is discussing it with Sam afterwards. And he's like, it's the only thing I ever wanted, but I'm going to refuse it because I took these vows. And I take my word seriously. If I don't take it seriously, no one else will. So they go to the voting for the 998th Lord Commander.
Ooh, 998th.
Yeah, 998 commanders are, well, this will be 998. So Janis Slint speaks up on behalf of Alistair, says he'd be a great Lord Commander. He's a kiss ass, and I hate him.
Yep.
Dennis Malister is the oldest guy there.
He was from like the Dark Tower guy. Like he took over.
Oh, we need to have him.
He's not the other manned one that's not Eastwatch by the Sea.
They're about to vote when Sam speaks up, and Janis Slint starts taunting him, like, oh, you're Sam. Sam the Slayer, ha ha ha. And Sam's like, yeah, you're a coward. You were hidden in the kitchens in a pile of your own,
of your own making. With a baby and a girl.
So, yeah, you're really like a tough guy. Yeah, we have
good job, bro. I've been saying bro a lot lately. I'm sorry.
But he says, John was the leader we all turned to when the night was darkest.
Isn't that true?
And it is so true.
Even against the wildlings, which he's supposedly so for. I mean, he is to a certain degree, but he will still fight them in favor of the Night's Watch.
Well, and in favor of the people whose land are their innocence, it's their land.
Yeah.
Right. So Sir Alistair's like, well, he loves wildlings. He's bad. And so you see on Ollie the kid's face, he's a little skeptical of John. But
because the wildlings killed his parents and took over his town.
Right. So Mace Raymond calls it to a vote. There are equal votes for Alistair and John. But
go then, fuck the other guy, I guess.
But then Master Aemon casts the deciding vote for John. Yeah. Because
fuck you, Alistair. You suck. All of your years of service, go fuck yourself. I will admit, like, I do feel kind of bad.
No.
Only a little bit. The only thing I feel bad about is the fact that he has spent so much time on the wall. He has dedicated his life. He's paid his
dues, certainly. But at the same time, he's paid his dues,
but I mean, John is better.
So John, you can see it on his face. He's getting great performance. He's both simultaneously thrilled and scared.
Yeah.
And that's the end of our discussion of the episode. It does have a dragon screech ending, but not here. Mm-hmm. What were your best parts?
Podrick, Dario for being cool and not giving a shit. Shireen for being sweet. Lyanna Mormont, won't be the last time.
I did not put Lyanna, but that's a good choice.
Wow. Sam for speaking up on Jon's behalf. Drogon for getting the hell out of Dodge. It's getting dodgy down there. Brienne for fighting for Sansa, even though Sansa's being a weirdo and an idiot. Jon.
I have written that. I have Arya.
Oh, it's a contest. No, go ahead.
I have Arya. Sam, I think, is
Arya, yeah, for her persistence.
Maester Aemon, I love him.
Oh yeah, Maester Aemon, yeah.
Shireen. I like Grey Worm in this. I'm not Dario, definitely like in this. Drogon is cool. I like Jamie and Bronn. I think they're so cute.
I do
together.
Like Jamie and Bronn.
And Bran and Podrick. I just love them. So those were my best parts. What were your worst parts?
Sansa for being kind of stupid. I can respect her not trusting Brienne just off the bat. Like, I mean, I think Brienne was kind of naive in thinking that these two young girls who have been through so fucking much will just like randomly go with you. And so, yeah, I think that that's kind of stupid that she thought that they were just going to like trust her. But I think Sansa is still being kind of stupid because, I mean, Littlefinger mentions a proposal and it's clearly not for him. So I would want to get more information. Littlefinger for being vague. Ilaria for having very basic reasons for hating the Lannisters, but not really good ones, I don't think. And Daenerys for being an absolute dumbass. Go ahead.
I did not include Littlefinger, and I totally should have. So I've got Sir Alistair. Varys, I think, is being not. Why did I put him in the worst part? I don't know.
Alistair?
Yeah,
I mean,
Varys.
Varys. I don't know.
So Daenerys, because I think she just has no plan. Slave guy, because again, you did the thing that you were told not to do, and there are consequences. Cersei, because Cersei's awful, and Qyburn, I would include in all of the creepy shit. So, what grade did you give this episode?
B.
I gave it a B also. All right, so we are going to be winding things up. We are looking forward to sharing more of season 5 with you, and we keep hoping that it's going to get better because it's been kind of meh so far.
I already told you the season's kind of meh.
I think there are things toward the end that I like.
There are, but
we're just having some build up to get there because there was so much shifting sand. So there we are.
Funny.
Anyway, we hope that you join us. I hope to have better mocktails, but this is what I had around the house right now. So this is what you're going to get. But we look forward to sharing this season with you, and
cheers.